Every year, on the Monday after Ash Wednesday, Basel, Switzerland comes alive with Fasnacht.
Fasnacht,
also Karneval oder
Fasnacht.
What is Fasnacht?
It is where everybody is out, where everybody likes it.
Dieter Schönstag.
The three most beautiful days. Did you start on Monday morning at 4?
It's Basel's version of Carnival. No one knows anymore how it started, but basically the Protestants here in Basel are partying while the Catholics in the land surrounding them are fasting for Lent. And it's 3 days of bands roaming around the street playing this music that you hear starting at 4 a.m. in the morning. But most people here love it.
You don't meet friends the whole year, but you meet them at Fasnacht.
So I'm standing in downtown Basel during Fasnacht, and I'm trying to ask people a question. I want to find out more about how Swiss people think about Swiss German.
Yeah. Können Sie Englisch sprechen?
This is the Asymptote Podcast. Before we go any further, I want to remind you of a few interesting things going on here at Asymptote. First, it's not too late to enter the third edition of our translation contest, Close Approximations. Along with cash prizes for the top entries, winners of the competition will be featured in our July 2017 issue and maybe even in our Translation Tuesday showcase at The Guardian. The deadline was moved to April 1st to make space for our special spring edition, so it's not too late. Get more info at asymptotejournal.com/contest. Which brings me to my next point. Our special spring edition featuring work from the country's band in Trump's executive order on immigration is taking shape, but we could still use your support. Help make this possible by donating to our Indiegogo campaign. Check it out today by going to asymptotejournal.com and following the link at the bottom of the page. When I asked one Basler about what he was doing, he said,
"Da wird die Obrigkeit, also der Spiegel vorgehalten."
Holding the mirror up to authority. And it's how they do that, which is why I'm here today.
Das ist eine Laterne.
The big Laterne. Which is beautiful at night time.
Sind heute Nacht wieder beleuchtet. Die sind innen beleuchtet.
Which are also painted with the information of what they play out.
Das ist das sogenannte Sujet drauf, also was man ausspielt.
They play something out which has happened during the year in Basel, in Switzerland, worldwide.
With giant lanterns marching through the streets in the dark, painted with mocking slogans and poems. And these poems and slogans are written in
Baseldeutsch, möglich.
Können Sie
mir
ein Beispiel bitte vorlesen?
Zermohlen hat der Werni, mir verrote, der erböte abdecken mit seinen Noten.
That's right, not High German, the standardized version of German used at schools and universities, but the Swiss German dialect local to the city of Basel.
Baseldeutsch.
Written everywhere.
Some of the greatest literary achievements happen in Basel at the Fasnacht. This is great verse. This is a great tradition. This is fantastic. There are some artists at work. They are poets. They're a special kind of poetry. But there are some excellent masters of language.
And so I started thinking, right, why do people write in Mundart? What was this process of writing in a language like when there are no standardized rules for how to do it? There are a lot of terms floating around here. Swiss German, dialect, Mundart, Bernese, Baseldeutsch. For practical purposes, I'm going to use Mundart as an umbrella term to talk about all variations of Germanic languages in Switzerland.
Mundart is a practical term. It's okay. My name is Beat Sterchi. I'm an author and I live in Bern in Switzerland.
The term is a compound word from Mund, mouth, and Art, or way or manner. The problem with saying Swiss German is that
Swiss German is definitely a concept which is, for practical reasons, is being used, but in fact it doesn't exist. Nobody speaks Swiss German. Everybody speaks his own regional language. And to make it easier for everybody, we call them Swiss German, but in fact Swiss German does not exist. We speak Zurich German or Bernese, and Swiss German is just a general concept.
In the German-speaking part of Switzerland, a unique language situation has developed that makes these distinctions important. It's called diglossia. People go about their daily business, speaking with everyone in one language, their Mundart, and reading and writing in another, High German.
Mundart literature requires the kind of diglossia situation. Really having a use of standard written that is different from what is spoken. And at that moment, you may actually use a language in a way that is referring to the spoken variant in opposition to the written variant.
But as we already know, this isn't strictly the case. During Fasnacht, you see Baseldeutsch written everywhere. And technology is changing things too.
People start using Mundart in SMS and in emails.
That doesn't necessarily translate to more people reading novels in Mundart.
But still, these are usually short texts, short messages, reading long texts. This, I would say, is still a challenge. My name is Ralph Miller. I'm a professor of German literature at the University of Fribourg in Switzerland. My interests are in different forms of genre, of 20th century literature, and also, of course, in particular, in literature from the German part of Switzerland, which includes dialect literature, Swiss German, or Mundart, as you would say.
High German wasn't always the standardized language for reading and writing in German-speaking Switzerland.
During the 18th century, rather, you could say that they adopted the standard German more frequently in their written language. Because before they were writing to each other in Eidgenössische Gemeinsprache, you could call it a federal common language. They had something like that. They had some kind of standard of writing to each other, but which was very close to the spoken variant. And they giving it up during the 18th century to write more frequently in high standard German.
So before this diglossia emerged in Switzerland, there was a loose writing system that was closer to the Mundart spoken in day-to-day life. But gradually, High German is established as the language for reading and writing. Soon, however, there was this backlash. Writers were finding that the High German didn't suit them for everything.
But at the end of the 18th century, there is this rediscovery of using dialects. So it first emerges in poetry, also in southern Germany. It starts almost at the same time, end of 18th century, that they start writing poetry in dialect, just trying to pick up this idea of poetry from the people. Of course, it's all written by well-educated authors.
And really, they were writing in Mundart with the best of intentions.
If we look into the texts of that time, we frequently have introductions. And what they say is they want to, on the one hand, it falls into this time when also in Germany people start collecting tales. And at the same time, they try to purify what the people is using. So you find these strange comments that they would like to provide songs for the peasants that are not that sexually explicit in their content. In particular, it's the case of a poet defending a song he wrote about a man visiting a girl in the evening. And in that context, he's saying, you may be offended by that topic, but it's still better than what they're actually singing in the pubs.
Even though people have been writing in Mundart for a long time, there still isn't a set system for how to do it. Which is why
it is actually a bit strange to write a novel in Mundart, because all of a sudden you have a second aspect coming up, which is it is authentic and at the same time strange to read Mundart, because you're not used to it. So you do not have the familiarity of Mundart as you have it when you hear it. When you read it, it is difficult to read. It is strange to read. I see more, typical Swiss sees more words in standard German than in Mundart.
So I asked some contemporary Swiss authors who write in Mundart, if it's so strange to do what they're doing, why go through the trouble? And what kind of stories do they tell? As it turns out, this break between speaking and hearing, and reading and hearing, is important. And there are some strong feelings on this subject.
My name is Beat Sterchi, and I am an author. I live in Bern, I have three children, and I spent my life writing, and also I did some teaching, and that's what I will do for the rest of my life.
I read and write in two languages. Officially, our actual daily language does not exist.
I personally think as a society lives, its language lives and develops, and the people who would like to preserve the language at a certain point, they haven't understood what language is all about. I personally do not like the term dialect, because in some countries dialect means the lower people, the lower classes speak less well than the people who have gone to university. As you might know, in Switzerland, everybody, even the president of Switzerland, speaks this dialect. I personally speak about my own language, and it is a language.
One that is in a world very different from the world of High German. Transplanting Switzerland to the world of High German, to Sterchi, makes no sense.
It just separates life from art. When I want to write a play about the misery of beggars or the misery of alcoholics at the railroad station, and suddenly they start speaking like Germans in Hanover, the social realistic impact will be lost.
So he won't do it.
I could not write people who have a local address, who live here, who are Swiss, who live in this world I'm trying to capture. I could not, like many do, I could not let them speak High German. That would be a translation.
In Switzerland, because we had this strange situation that we had to learn to write in High German, and the actually spoken language, and where we are really creative is become secondary, because we through learning High German we adapt to, many of us, a more artificial, beautiful, but an artificial system. And when we learn High German, then all these basic qualities of a language that's lived every day and used and created newly every day, they become less important.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your work and what your primary activities are as a writer?
Yeah, it's a good question. I could explain it in a simple way. I used to run a general store. A general store of literature, which means I had to make money. And I, when somebody called and asked for a radio play or a play as such or anything, I said yes, and I did it. And now I am more concentrated on writing prose, on writing or telling stories.
As soon as you write down Mundart, it becomes a paradoxical term. What relationship does your work have with sound?
I think good literature has always a very, very intimate relationship to sound. Literature is sound. Before it has been printed, it was just spoken, and sound was very important, not just the rhyme, everything. And classical works, when they are properly read by people who understand them, they are musical works. Shakespeare is music. Poetry is music, and good literature was always in part poetry, because this sound dimension was very, very important. I then realized that I had to go back to the language I speak, and that's when I started to write easy, simple things based on rhythm, based on repetition. Just one word, repeating this word, but this is a word that everybody recognizes, and words that sound, and I realized the force or the power of our own daily speech.
I'm happy to say that Beat Sterchi agreed to share one of his works with us. Short and sweet, a conversation between three butterflies.
Drei Schmetterlinge. Da redet man da öppe mit jemandem etwas, und der redet auch öppe etwas mit dem, und da redet man öppe der öppe mit jemandem etwas, und hat hier mit dem öppe über etwas, und der hat öppe da öppe etwas, und öppe der redet öppe der öppe mit jemandem über öppe etwas von etwas anderem.
For my next episode of the Asymptote Podcast, I head to Olten, Switzerland, to talk with Pedro Lenz. He's one of Switzerland's most successful contemporary authors, with a diverse artistic practice who is known for his novels, written in Mundart.
When I look out the window, I see the train station. I like our train system, for example. For me, this is something who lets me feel be at home. That's something I miss in Scotland or in other parts of the world I was. But at the same time, for me it's clear that that world is changing and Switzerland is not so special as we think.
That's next time on the Asymptote Podcast. I'm Dominic Boyle, and thanks for listening.